Hey, Mark, I have started a new holiday tradition.
Really? What is it?
I am not going to shower until Christmas. I'm at day 10 right now.
Oh, so that's what that is.
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Lord, you! Make Christmas last forever.
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natal!
Both festive, aren't they?
Joyeux Noël!
And we are the festive foreign film fans. Well, hey, Mark.
How are you today, Bob?
Mark, I am so excited because we are in my time of year. I love the fall.
Yep.
I love to be outside. And I love, though I have to tell you, I love the fact that people are starting to listen to our podcast. And I was trying to determine how I can describe this, but our good friend Johnny Mago, who is actually our boy's friend, but yep, we've camped with Johnny, we know Johnny for years, and he has listened to our podcast, and Johnny wants to be a guest on our podcast. And I know we were going to invite Sue,
right,
and then our mascot Lena came. And so I was thinking about this, and the first thing I'm like, well, how do I explain to people who Johnny Mago is? And the whole Mago boy, the whole family,
right,
you know, you got four boys, they're talented, they're athletic, and they're a bit crazy. I was thinking
the kind word is intense.
Yeah, intense is I was thinking of, did you ever see the movie Four Christmases?
Yes.
And so remember when they go back, he goes back to see his brothers, and the brothers are Denver and Dallas, John Favreau and Blake Shelton.
Yep.
And you know, they're beating him up, they're wrestling, and I was thinking, that's what it's like to be with the Magos, only there's four of them versus just two.
Well, they are a great family, a great football family. In fact, a little bit of trivia, you know, every year Eric played, right? He played in juniors football in high school and 4 years in college. He's never played on a football team without a Mago.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. So yeah, they span multiple generations and
all different. Every
all very
single
different.
One.
Yeah.
But Johnny set the bar. So Johnny wants to be a guest. So then I started thinking, Mark, if we were to invite a guest, like who would you want to, like who could we invite on our show that could add to this to our podcast?
You know, can I only invite one?
But here's, no, you can tell me, who do you think? Yeah, anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, so here's who I want to invite, right? I want to invite the fun-loving, free-spirited Will Ferrell.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
That would be awesome. Right? If you're out there, Will, listening.
Yeah.
You're invited. Yeah. There's an open invitation.
Yep. I also would love to have the insight of movies of Leonard Maltin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And probably a linguist who can correct us on how we're mispronouncing words. So, you know, mold those all together. Wait,
with someone with a red pen and just.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, did I just describe Johnny?
Yeah. No. Although I think if we would make a mistake in our language, he might smack us.
not might, he would. But it's a really good question. I mean, you know, but I think about it, those are the types of things that I hope we can try to bring, though, is a little bit of movie perspective, a little bit of fun. The linguist part, maybe not. But what about you? Who would you bring on?
Well, you know, I've been struggling with this question, thinking about it, because I was like, well, I know like people in the Christmas podcast world, would I want them or would I? And you know what I really thought? It didn't come down to a person, but it would be fun if each show when we were covering a country, if we had someone that we knew from that country that would sit here and say, yeah, you know, because we try to, many of these places we've never been and we try to research and understand how they celebrate. But it'd be kind of fun if someone said, well, yeah, that's not really, you know, they say that on the internet, but we don't do that at all. Or if they said, oh my gosh, it's not only that, I think you did when we were talking about the Polish, you added more to it with the little wafer, and it was kind of fun to have real experience. And I kind of wish we had that.
It would be a great idea if we could replicate that the best we could for each show, each culture. You know, before we get into, can I just tell you a really, really quick story, sure. Bob? Because I think we are gaining some fans out there. I went to a recent a party, I guess I'll call it, and a good friend of ours, you know them, Howard and Rhonda, right? They, anyway, they've been helping us promote our podcast, telling others. And so Howard's brother came in and Howard's like, oh, Glenn, this is right up your alley. You gotta hear what Mark's doing and what Bob's doing. So I described it and he's like, oh, I have a movie for you. And I'm like, great, great. What is it? He goes, there's this great movie. My whole family thinks I'm crazy when I say it's a great movie, but I think it's the greatest Christmas movie ever. And I'm like, get out of here. I said, is it international? He's like, yes. I'm like, oh my God, tell me more. He goes, well, I described it to my family as the Home Alone of European movies. And I said, what's it called? Rare Exports.
The Home Alone of Christmas.
So I said,
oh, you locked in with some kind of giant Krampus figure.
Or those naked Santas. So anyway, I thought it was fun that there was somebody out there who was enthusiastic about foreign films, about Christmas films. And so
and you could say, episode 3.
I did.
Episode 3.
I said, you have to go back and listen to what our view was. And so that's his homework assignment. But anyway, it was fun to kind of relate to someone about what we're doing.
That is exciting. And excited to get into the movie tonight because it's really kind of a different, interesting, fun one. So let's talk movie.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
So tonight, Mark, you know, we have Bada Din, which I always want to say Bada Din, Bada Boom.
I want to say Bada Bing from The Sopranos, but that's okay.
And this is an Indian film, and Bada Din means, well, it means big day, but it's how they refer to Christmas Day. And I'm going to describe some of the actors in this film, and then we'll talk about the actual film. But it's so, even the actors in this have such interesting backgrounds. The first being Mark Robinson. Now, Mark Robinson, he plays David Dawson in the film. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, these sound like very American names. They are not. He is not. He's an Indian actor, but even more important, he's a former supermodel. So, and as you'll see, as we see in the movie, he's the, you know, the love interest, the, you know, main character. And he has not appeared in any English language films, but he has done a lot in the fashion and grooming world. He's the founder of the Dubai Fashion Week. He was a contestant and the show director for the Ford Model Supermodel. And he's the organizer of Elite Model Look India.
He is a good-looking man.
He is a good-looking man. And also good-looking is his love interest in this movie. She plays the character. Her name is Tara Deshpande, and she plays Nandini Shyam. And she's an Indian actress, but even more importantly, she was a former MTV VJ for the Indian MTV.
Awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love that. And she also hasn't been in any English films, in English-speaking films, but she did marry an American citizen, and she lives in Boston now, where she runs a catering firm. Now, having seen her in that film, wouldn't you like her to cater some of your events? She's a very attractive woman.
I I think we should have invited her to the show.
Yes, exactly. And then the third actor, and there's a number of others, as we always know, but and this is Sanjay Pathak. And he plays Raka, and it's an interesting role because he plays a mute, a mute boy in the film. Now, he also hasn't appeared in any English language films, and he hasn't been in many other Bollywood films. This is a Bollywood film, but he is a singer, an artist, and an actor, which is so interesting because you would almost think that he is mute,
right?
Mute, and you know, because of his acting in the film. So those are our three main characters, and the first thing that I love about this film is you just India and Christmas. It doesn't necessarily come together in your mind, so it's interesting to see the role that it plays in the film. And the film starts with a mob boss coming onto this young boy and this woman, and her husband was part of his gang, was a traitor, and he's threatening, and she's, you know, the kid, the little boy is observing this. His mom is, you know, all upset. She knows her husband's going to be killed. She's going to lose her way of life, and she's begging him, and he's like, I'll take care of you, but he's a traitor. He's got to go. So, again, this Christmas movie. Yes. Yeah. So then he sends his two goons to go out there, and the woman's husband is getting a shave at a barbershop, and they come in and they kill him. Right at that moment, the young, our mute boy, Raka, is there serving tea. That's what he does to her, and he observes the whole thing. They realize he was ducking down, but they realize after they've murdered this individual that he was a witness to it, and they don't know that he's mute or anything. All they know is they got to catch him. And so there's like a 10-minute chase scene. And Mark, what I love about this is this movie was, now I know 1997 is still 25 years old. This movie looks like it was in the 70s. Even the cars look old. I don't know what it is. But they're doing these long shots and showing them running down the street and running and running and running. And the music is really lively. It was kind of a kick to see it get started. And so that's the beginning. And then we flip to, there's David Dawson in the bar. It's 7 a.m. in the morning, and he's drinking, and he subsequently gets fired by his boss.
That long run in the filmmaker, was he trying to exaggerate the chase, right, exaggerate the situation, or did they just have extra film?
I don't know, because there's another chase scene that happens later in the film, and the exact same thing happens. Yeah.
Could have been just the style. Like you said, maybe it was like a 1970. I don't know. But
and so David goes home. He's been fired. He goes home. We meet his landlord, the woman Lillian, who she owns a house, and David rents a room in the house. And there's an interesting chemistry between them. She's older than him. And what you realize is this is Christmas Eve, and this entire film takes place on that day. And trust me, all these things happen. You're like, wait, this is the same day? But it is. Because from there, we go from Lillian to David thinking about his girlfriend and his girlfriend that he had seen on Christmas Day, and she wants to be married. But she wants him to become a responsible individual and take a job from her father, who is a police officer. And he's like, marriage, I want to be a musician. I'm just having fun. And so they're kind of getting, they're going out talking about it. But what also, and this is a Bollywood film, so we're going to have like five different music montages in the film, and they are great. And this one starts out so you see the love. It's the two of them and these dancers that are just like dancing, and it is so funny. So they have their great song, and they're good singers. Terrible lip syncing though. Terrible lip syncing. Yeah. They have their dance, have their fight. She slaps him. She says she never wants to see him again. So his day is not starting out that well. He goes home depressed, goes upstairs after he talks to Lillian, Rocca comes in, and they have some kind of a friendship or something.
That's right.
And Rocca's trying to tell him what he has just witnessed and that they're chasing him. But David is pretty self-absorbed and kind of not listening to him. And so he takes off. Lillian, though, David is sitting there because he's depressed, is singing
right.
and playing his guitar. And Lillian's downstairs listening to him.
Right.
And you can tell that she loves the way that he sings. And she's decorating her apartment or the house. She's decorating the house for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she has there's a tree, and she's taking out the decorations. And while she's doing that, she finds Rocca, who's hiding, and he's terrified. He's very scared. And David comes downstairs, and he doesn't want to help him. He wants Rocca to just leave and
not his problem.
Right. Not at all.
Right.
But Lillian's different, and she's like, no, we have to take care of him. And I want to protect him. And David wants to throw him out on the street, Rocca out on the street. Lillian's like, we're not going to do that. And she starts challenging him and saying, look, you're a coward. You know, you don't do anything. You know, you're not going to make anything of yourself. And she challenges him to go to the cops and report what happened, you know, and bring Rocca. And because I think she attacks his manhood, he decides to do it. And he brings Rocca to the cops, and they file what's known as a FIR, and this is a report of what happened, and he makes a report. Then he feels like he's done his job, and he's like, Rocca, just go. You know, right. You'll have police protection. I don't want anything to do with you. He gets on a trolley to go home, falls asleep, and has a dream, another music sequence of him performing a concert. And another, we got spiderwebs, we have the drummer going in slow motion, we have David playing the sax in the audience, and his girlfriend is there with her boyfriend, I guess, in his dream, and he's dancing with a girl while fighting with his girlfriend, and you're watching this, and you're like, wait, is this happening? Is this not happening? And you realize when he wakes up that it was all a dream.
Yeah, I think what was interesting in that early part too, a couple of things that hit me. One, when Lillian was decorating her apartment, there was traditional Christmas music.
Yes.
Being sung in English, right?
Yeah.
So I think the White Christmas was playing back. But you're right. I mean, what a double hit. That's a bad day. You get fired. Your girlfriend breaks up with you because she says you're not sort of owning up. You're not making self something of you. And then your landlord tells you, like, man up, right?
Yeah,
Do something. You know, it's that's.
And he hasn't paid. I mean, you know, right. A couple of points that I missed. Like, you're right. He hasn't paid her in months, and she still lets him stay there. But what is also, there is English interspersed through this film.
Yep.
So they'll be talking in Hindi, and then they'll throw in English. And in fact, one part, Lillian is fighting with her neighbors, and they say, you know, they act like they don't understand. You're just jabbering in English. And so it's so funny. But when David gets home, they call the two goons who work for the mob boss, the rowdies. And the rowdies are there in his room, and they beat him up. They smash up his whole room. They beat him up, and they tell him, either you withdraw that FIR. And I find it so interesting because this mob boss is very powerful,
right,
and has policemen on the dole and all that. But it appears that the new, like, chief of police can't be corrupted. And with this FIR, they're going to do something. And, the mob boss is going to be implicated. And they want two things. They want him to withdraw the FIR and to turn over Rocca to them.
Right.
So here's another bad part of his day. He's been beaten up and gets stitches. And so he's alienated, like, this powerful mob boss, and he doesn't know what to do. But when this occurs, he does have a conversation with Lillian. You know, they're almost kind of opening up to each other because of all the things that they're experiencing. And you see, she's pretty tough.
She is.
And you love the fact that she's the only one that really seems to want to make sure. She doesn't care who's threatening Raka. We're not giving him, turning him over. But she tells this horrible story about, you know, David had asked her earlier what happened to her husband. Well, you find out that her...
In a very mean way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. In a very, yes, very mean way. She describes how her stepmother hated her, had her sleep with this older man. So it was her husband's or her father's boss. So that would help them all. He rapes her. And then she gets turned over to this husband who then beats her because she was unfaithful. You know, she had been... She wasn't worthy anymore because she had been raped. So, and you just, your heart breaks for her. Yep. So then the mob boss wants to see David. Huge, another chase scene that goes on. And we get to view, which was kind of nice. You see street scenes of India. Right. You catch some Christmas lights in that. And then they take him to the mob boss. Mob boss, same thing. You don't pull back this FIR and you don't turn over Raka. We're going to. You're dead. I mean, you're just dead. He goes back to where he works to talk to the bartender that he knows there, his confidant. Well, when he walks into the bar, now we have like a belly dancing montage, which is, you know, I have to say, it's very different music than we hear in the States.
Right.
But really interesting and enticing and different, and it was exotic. I guess I should say exotic. So now the bartender says, "Look, I can introduce you to the mob boss's rival, and you do some dirty work for him, and he'll protect you." And David's like, "You know, now we start to see he's toughening up. He's like, you know what? I have nothing more to lose. I'm not going to be dirty. I don't care. I'm going back." And I'm going to, you know, I'm not turning him over and I'm not withdrawing my FIR. But what he does think to do is to go see his girlfriend because, you know, her father is police and he'll go and talk to her. He goes, talks to her. They have a conversation and, you know, she goes around the corner to hide from him and they both sing a song and you can tell they still love each other and all that. And what I love, I don't know if you noticed, Mark, while she's singing, her hair is blowing in the wind, even though she's in the house. But it's very beautiful.
I did have a Fabio moment.
Yeah, it was good. And then the neighbors, this is where the part I was telling you, the neighbors are upset. They know that the mob boss is mad. They're like, hey, you got to withdraw that FIR and you turn over Raka. We don't care. And they're calling her names and everything. And she says, absolutely not. We're not going to do it. And they go upstairs and they celebrate. They have a great Christmas Eve party. And it is, I mean, talk about uplifting. All of a sudden, Raka, who's been dirty and looks like an urchin for the whole show, is all of a sudden in nice new clothes, all cleaned up. And Lillian and David are in, you know, formal attire and they're dancing and they're all dancing around the room, being fun and decorating. And obviously they've changed. All the bad things that have happened, they're not going to let them affect them. Bad guys come, the rowdies come to kill him. I mean, this is it. We're going to kill you. And David goes down there and says and faces him down and they fight. They have a big fight. And one of the things that's occurred of these two goons, there's one named Sonny, and the whole time the mob boss has been putting him down, just like humiliating him every single time. And David, while they're fighting, they have a conversation. He's like, You're not different than me. You know, you can stand up for yourself, think of yourself and not think of the mob boss. And in the end, he doesn't shoot David. He just shoots the gun into the ground, doesn't shoot David. But the cops also show up, which indicates that his girlfriend did tell her dad to come protect David. And end of the movie, he lifts up Lillian and she says, Merry Christmas. And he carries her upstairs. For what? We don't know.
You know?
And Raka is downstairs dancing with a little bear or something.
He is.
Or no, kitty. He's dancing with a cat.
Yeah. It's interesting how Lillian and David become close, right? I mean, she's already kind of taking him down to the lowest level. I think he thought he was better than her in some way, but then after he hears her entire life story, I mean, he's probably thinking like, well, I ain't so tough, right? Look like what Lillian's been through. And so I think that helps balance out. You know, one of the things I thought was funny is, do you remember the name of Sonny's partner in crime, the other rowdy?
Rambo. And you see a lot of, you see posters of, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yep. He has a poster of The Doors.
Yep.
And Jim Morrison on his thing. Yeah, there's a lot of American influences in the, at least pop culture.
There was, yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's, it was interesting how it ended, right? How their relationship evolved.
And you're right. I mean, you think, yeah, David's the main character. Lillian provides the heart and really is the strong, and she causes him to grow. But there is a point where you really see where he's at his lowest, where he's like, shoot me. I have nothing else to lose. Shoot me. And obviously just by doing that causes the rowdy to reconsider his own life.
That's right.
So is it a Christmas movie?
You know, this is always the hardest question to answer. You know, I'm going to go with a no. I get the, how it kind of comes together at the end when they talk about, you know, this big day and this, it was a big day for them. And so I guess you could say, well, it wouldn't be a big day if it was a different day than Christmas, but like there wasn't enough elements of Christmas. I mean, yeah, the subtle music in the background, but I have to go with not a Christmas movie.
You know, I'm going to say that the Christmas scene that they have, and it's short and it's just one song, and they're just, that sold me. I say, you know, it's because they talk about Christmas throughout it, but you don't see anything. There's no snow. There's no, you know, there's no decorations. There's nothing. But that moment when it's almost like everything changes in the movie because of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I'm going to say it's a Christmas movie. But what'd you think when it ended? How did you feel?
Relieved because it was over. You know, it's interesting, right? Because we were just talking about this the other day about restaurant reviews, and there's in our local newspaper, you only get good reviews.
Yes.
Like it's not a, it like contextualize, right? When it was made, you know, and probably Bollywood really early. But it did drag on, and I've seen other Bollywood movies for me. And so, but I did like how the relationship evolved and how they came together. And again, the other part I liked about it, you are left with the question, are Lillian and David now romantically involved? They're certainly emotionally more connected. So there is some good aspects of it, but you know, I did struggle. Like when I have to look at my watch multiple times.
Well, you're right. It did not have the grandeur of a Bollywood film with the elaborate dancing and all that.
Right.
It does have, I would always just, you know, kind of smile when they would have these montages because they just like insert them and it just happens. And, you know, it doesn't almost move the movie forward. It's just, hey, it's time for music and they throw it in there. And for some reason it has such a dated feel. I don't know why, what that is. But, you know, I thought it was okay. You know, there were parts of it that I thought, oh, that made me feel good. And you know, I think Lillian was a great actress in it.
I do too.
I thought I don't know if those were their voices, David and Nahinda, but they sounded great. Would you watch it again?
No, I don't think I would. I don't think I would watch it again. I mean, if I did watch it again, Like an interesting thing I thought about afterwards, if I watched it again, I think I might skip the songs.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, because it's funny, on the option, you can actually listen to just the songs,
yeah,
or you can watch the movie, but then maybe go through them. But I think there'd be other movies that I'd want to explore first before I'd watch this again.
What I thought it lacked from the song perspective, I wish they had subtitles for the songs, because you don't know what they're saying. And like the whole Christmas, I assume they're singing about the holiday. You have no idea though.
Right.
And so that does kind of detract from it. The only way I would probably watch it again is really to show some, this is a very different view of Christmas, a Christmas movie like you've ever seen before. And here's one to look at it, but you know, it's crime and murder and, you know, it's not exactly your traditional, you know, Hallmark movie. You know,
definitely not.
And how about Fan? Would you tell someone to watch it?
I think, well, you know, one of the things I like about what we're doing with this podcast, Bob, is we are trying to expose each other, our fans, to different cultures, different perspectives, right? And so I'm always going to say to someone, talk a little bit about traditions, getting, like you said, experience a movie that is what you typically wouldn't see, but just, you know, maybe with always with the advice of, hey, this is a little bit longer movie, you know, and so you might want need to watch it over a couple of a day or two. Again, I think it just ran a little bit more than 2 hours, but I wouldn't give it a glowing recommendation, but I would not discourage someone from watching it who wants to have a better idea of another culture.
And we've actually been pretty lucky. I don't think we've watched a movie yet that I would say that was terrible. I would have liked to turn it off halfway through. I've enjoyed all of them for different reasons.
Yes.
Now, Mark, I'm going to teach you how to say Merry Christmas in Hindi. Now, you think Bada Din, that's the big day. That's how you refer to Christmas Day. But if you want to tell someone how to say Merry Christmas, what you say is Christmas Ki Budhai. Christmas Ki Budhai.
Christmas Ki Budhai.
Yeah, there you go. Easy. Look at that. We could be hanging out with David and all his model girlfriends. Now, there are, and it's, you know, there's a very small Christian population in India, but there are Christmas traditions, and a lot of it was carried over from the colonial period, from the British, when the British were there. So one of the things that I discovered is in India, Christmas trees are a big thing. That's their main decoration is a Christmas tree, but you know, some of them will have imitation like evergreen trees like we would have, but also, they'll decorate palm trees, banana trees, mango trees, or casuarina trees. And they decorate them. And the kids will take wool, cotton, and put them on the tree like as snow.
Like a snow. So that's a great idea.
And they have, you know, Christmas parties. And they also, what I like too, is that they use banana and mango leaves. These are important culturally because they're considered, like the mango tree is considered sacred. So you can see a lot of mango trees in the houses, and they will decorate their mango trees, but also hang the leaves on the doorways to make it festive, seem more festive.
Is that mistletoe?
Maybe it's the Indian mistletoe. It's a Mark. Now that's not a banana. Mark. Oh, no, oh. I guess these are mango.
Mango, usually. Bob, mango.
Another custom, Mark, are the star lanterns. And these are often placed in windows. And these represent, as we see sometimes in other cultures too, where you have like the luminarias in Mexico they have. Here, these are the star. It's like the star that led the wise men to the stable. So, in many of the urban areas, they'll put them in the windows, they will have many different colors. So yeah, kind of like our Christmas lights, but they're rice lights, or even in some of the rural areas, they'll have oil burning lamps. And these are the light, again, to represent the star. And if the homes in many of the homes in India have flat roofs, so the people will put the lights up on the roof.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then, of course, everybody has some food that is represented in the holiday. And so the Indians enjoy a Christmas plum cake, again, carried over from the English that were there. But they adapted it for their own, what the products and the foods that they could find there in India. So they wanted to recreate the English plum pudding, but without lard. They didn't want any lard in there, obviously, and they also didn't want to steam it. So what they have is they have in their plum puddings, they have fermented cashew apples, cashew nuts, kudapa almonds, bananas, cocoa, white pumpkin, orange marmalade, and ghee instead of butter. And then there's one in Goa, India. They actually have a black pudding cake, plum cake, and that's the way it's black is from dark caramel sauce. And they'll also, which you would expect, and some of them will add hot spices to the plum pudding cake, and they add, you know, things like nutmeg, cinnamon, cloves, and royal cumin seeds.
It really sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, yeah, even go back to the movie, right? I think Lillian shares that she was a great baker, but her mother-in-law wasn't, and smashed her cake after she made it.
Oh, you're right. The raisin cake. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So that's interesting that's part of that has a little bit more meaning now in the movie.
See, what I think we need to do, so Tara Deshpande is here in the States, right? She's living in Boston. Once she hears this episode, she has a catering business. Come on. We want a whole Indian Christmas spread put out here for us. And we will taste it on air, Mark.
That sounds.
People can listen to us eating.
That would not go well. But I'll do it.
Hey, I want some kudapa almonds. I want some white pumpkin. I want some ghee. Bring it on. So you know what time it is?
Time for Mark to sing.
Time for the music, Mark.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
Least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
You know, we had a musical last time and you'd sing the songs. This time you want to skip them. Now, what does that say? But let's get to our music. So, Mark, that song is called "Yo Amo Nacho," and it's a Christmas song, and it talks about the birth of Jesus, and what it means is dance and dance happily as Jesus is born today. Now, this song is put together by a group of artists, songwriters, and media people. They've come together. They all work creatively in this group, and they're called the Jago family. Now, they're not family members, but they call themselves a family, and they came together, and they put together that song.
Sounds great.
I could tell you enjoyed it just the way you were swaying. It reminded me of the belly dancers from the movie.
Yeah, you know, just a note on belly dancers, but I know that, right, the day that Eric and Nancy got married, you had a conflict, right?
Yeah.
Hayden was another wedding, but Eric and Nancy had a belly dancer at their wedding, at the reception.
Was that his mother-in-law? I know I'm probably gonna be in trouble for that one.
No, it was not his
mother-in-law. I can't be Lena's godfather anymore, I guess.
but in Nancy's brother's wedding. So again, her family is from Iraq. So the belly dancer present, it's like how we perceive belly dancing is maybe more erotic than it's really meant to be. And it's really a very sensual, it's very welcome, it's very festive, right? And at the wedding, right, the belly dancer then like had Eric dance with them, the wedding party did, Nancy's dad, myself, right? And so it was really just a way to start the celebration. So
Well, and referring back to the scene, the belly dance scene, it is, you know, in some ways they danced similar to, and this sounds bad, but like a stripper would, kind of, you know, they were doing some of the poses, and I was thinking it was maybe more for the movie,
right?
You know, but it wasn't done sexually. You know what I mean? It wasn't done erotically. It was just the poses that they do. And I was thinking maybe strippers here in the States borrow more of the moves from them, you know, because, and the other thing I found interesting about them, it's not like they were petite little model thing. You know what I mean? They were just normal women they could move.
They could. Very talented.
Yes. So, Mark, this was a warm weather Christmas film. Yeah. Unlike, you know, our typical Christmas that we're aware of with snow. And and I like that this is just kind of way outside of what we're familiar with and what we know. And it was kind of fun to see different things. So it kind of raises a question, you know, what countries do you think about? Would you like to see us find a Christmas movie from that maybe we haven't covered yet? You know, like, what's out there in your mind saying, here's a challenge. Can we find one from X?
Yeah. My mind goes all over the place. So I'd be curious to maybe go a little south, close, you know, South America.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Brazil or Venezuela. Because I think it's like we've covered Europe a little bit, not all of Europe. Yeah. Obviously, someday we'll do a Christmas movie from Ireland for my heritage. but I think like where to next, or maybe is can we start going down into South America, maybe into Africa to see what how they celebrate the holidays. How about you?
That'd be awesome. You know what? I thought about this and I thought, what I would like to see if there's some movies from some of the areas that have seen recent wars, like you mentioned that Eric's, his in-laws are from Iraq. Is there an Iraqi or an Afghanistan movie out there that maybe kind of reflects, you know, either how they've come out of after the war or what was happening during the war, or a Ukrainian film? You know, I kind of was thinking some of those.
Yeah. Out of bad, what good has come out of it?
Exactly.
Or how do they keep their spirits up and their faith? And I like
and
that.
And usually you find movies that reflect that fortitude and that strength, right. and it gives you, it helps then build that spirit. Yeah. And which will lead right to our quote that says, "This is the time of year when we forget our differences and focus on the fact that we all belong to the same race, the human race."
Well said. Well said.
Mark, thank you. You can get out of that belly dancing outfit and head home.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it. It was a fun movie to review. You know, and hopefully we'll get some feedback about what our viewers think of the movie.
Yes, and send us all your comments, suggestions, your own customs, or your favorite festive foreign films. You can find us at festivefans@AOL.com. We have a Facebook page. And as always, leave us a review.
Actually, we're done.
Done, done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.